T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. It is good to be with you. It is absolutely beautiful from where I'm sitting, which is not inside a studio on the corner of Broadway and Battery. They got us out on remote today, Gianna. Thank it's good you. To see you, and it is beautiful to be here at TPC Stonebray, where we're going to have the Ellie Mae Classic go off this week. Today is a whole bunch of, friends, families, amateurs get to go off today. A little bit of a pro-am scramble something here today. I know a little bit later on this week, they're going to get to the Real McCoy. This is the web.com tour. A whole bunch of people looking to make their way on the PGA Tour someday. They'd like to earn their tour card, and one of those guys might not be trying to earn his tour card, but a guy who came out here on the web.com tour and nearly made the cut at this event was Golden State Warriors' very own Steph Curry. A big reason why we're out here today, and he's not here today.
He's not here today, unfortunately.
We absolutely thought that this day was going to revolve around a big Steph Curry interview out at the golf course, and appears he's not scheduled to appear. We'll see if he actually comes on out, because Del Curry is golfing tonight. Andre Iguodala's golfing tonight. I heard Dallas Braden's going to be here around here. So we're going to say hello to a few friends who just stop on by this afternoon. And we're also going to say hello to Adam Kaplan, who has been down at Niner training camp. We're going to say hello to the voice of the Niners as well, Ted Robinson, a 5 before 5. We're just going to have ourselves a Monday show out here with an absolutely much improved view than we normally get.
Not bad at all. I'll take it. I'll take it for one day this week.
We are up. Good. Yeah, we are up here. This golf course is what, dotting the ridge of Hayward. If you follow the road all the way up to the top of the hill, here we are, and we get this beautiful, beautiful setting for today. We're right in front of the range, so we'll be watching guys warm up and get going. And, of course, the event starts on Thursday. Anyone interested in tickets, you can go to elliemayclassic.com. This is a beautiful setting. It's be very fun, family-friendly event. You can bring the kids out here. You can have a good time. And you're going to be able to, I think, watch Steph Curry certainly play on Thursday, Friday. We'll see if he can make the cut this year. Last time Steph played, he finished consecutive rounds 4 over 74. So we'll see if Mr. Zero Handicap can make the weekend here. It's amazing that he even came that close, considering he is surrounded by guys who are very much professional golfers, but on the cusp of joining the Ultimate Tour, the PGA Tour. So we have that to look at all afternoon. Oh, by the way, speaking of golf, we have news on Tiger and Phil, and we will talk about that today. But obviously, we're all around here for a little Bay Area sports. And while we watch both our NFL teams get ready for games Thursday, Friday this week, Niners go Thursday, the team moving to Vegas goes on Friday, we have baseball all around us. The Giants have the defending World Series champs coming in, and what do you know? They went to the desert to take a step forward, yet not a step backwards, and really nothing happened, and nothing ever kind of happens, and here we are. And enough about that, because, well, Oakland A's, how you doing? Look at this baseball team. They just swept the Tigers, and they do a deal today for Mike Fiers, who's got an ERA under 3 in his last 12 starts. So hopefully they're adding a starting top-of-the-line pitcher to help them get through what everyone now is looking at, a date with the playoffs. It is going to happen unless something catastrophically different happens, and it doesn't look like anything different is happening except the A's win another ball game. They didn't allow an earned run in their series against Detroit. The last time the A's did not allow an earned run in a three-game series was back in 1918.
Oh, they were due.
Yeah, they were absolutely due. It's very hard to hold a professional baseball team to zero earned runs. You know, a lot of people tell you that, well, the A's have gotten fat on some bad teams this year. Blue Jays, Tigers, they're 21 games over 500 on account of being 14-0 this season against the Blue Jays and Tigers. You know what? Tough. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. I never hear about anyone wanting to explain away an inflated Yankee or Red Sox record because they get to play the Tiger or they get to play the Blue Jays or anything like that. Like, this is a good baseball team. This is a good baseball team that I would love their own fans to start consuming. I mean, there's no other way for me to say it. There really isn't. The A's are playing the level of baseball at the time of the baseball year where when we have a game on, there should be a lot of people listening to it. When it's on TV, there should be a lot of people watching. For whatever the reason, A's success, fandom, and ratings don't exactly correlate. And it's just driving me nuts and us nuts because I want this team to. I want people to care. I want people to notice. I can't stop watching. I watch them so much more than I do the Giants. The Giants have become painfully boring because they don't know what they are, so they decided to be nothing. They wanted to stay under the luxury cap. That was the only mission statement of the entire season. Think about it. No one at any point in time during the Giants season, not Brian Sabian, not Bobby Evans, not Larry Bear, not any of their broadcasters, not a single person who's an insider, a reporter, around the team, whatever, no one mentioned that they wanted to be a playoff team this year.
And here they are.
No one mentioned that they wanted to win the National League West. The only thing I heard about was staying under the luxury cap. That was so important to stay out of the luxury tax for them that they literally did nothing in terms of improving the baseball team at the deadline. And so when you go to the desert and it's one step forward, one step back, don't ask yourself why. I'll tell you why the Giants are where they are. Because this is the only place they ever wanted to be. 2018 was an absolute write-off. I don't care what their payroll was, what they suggest they were hoping for. Staying under luxury tax constraints is the only goal, and they've hit their goal right on the bullseye. So congratulations. Parade up Market Street, right?
You got that part.
Either way, boring baseball team. I don't care if Longoria's hitting home runs or not. We got an awful lot to talk about today. 888-957-9570. If you're normally inclined to reach out to the show on the text line thinking, ooh, this pithy thing will make it to the show. Not today, it won't.
Okay,
you're
going
to have to give us a call. 888-957-9570. I can't read a single text. You might send the text line, but you can hit us on Twitter, at Damon Bruce, and you can certainly give us a call. 888-957-9570. We're going to be taking your calls today and talking about something else that's coming up a little bit later on this week that's left of center of what we normally do. And Gianna, I don't mean a web tour broadcast, which is definitely left of center of what we normally do. We have all sorts of left of center programming coming our way this week, thanks to ESPN pretty much green lighting the Ocho.
This should be actually kind of fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun, I think. There are more ridiculous sporting events to be televised on ESPN this week than I've ever seen. I mean, it's amazing. Some of this stuff is like, oh, I'd want to watch that. Some of this stuff is, I don't know if anyone would want to watch that, but they're going to do it. Of course, the Ocho, named lovingly in the movie Dodgeball, a fictional ESPN spinoff, which they're actually going to do, what do you know, on August 8th, 8/8/18. Ocho, I get it. I see what they're doing. We're going to talk about the different sporting fair that you'll be able to enjoy this week. We are going to talk about how the guy who runs NASCAR got a DUI.
I saw that.
Oh, nothing worse than white boys driving around the Hamptons all cockeyed.
Well, and, you know, you're wealthy enough to get a car and someone to drive you around, so ridiculous.
And seriously, can you as the president and CEO of NASCAR ever afford a DUI? I mean, I don't know
ever.
If anyone can afford a DUI, but you can't afford a DUI if you're the president and CEO of NASCAR any more than you can be caught stealing golf clubs and golf balls from the pro shop if you're a tour pro here at TPC Stonebray. Like, that's the one avenue you really can't walk down. You have to know better.
Yeah.
So that's unbelievable. And we got a lot of stuff to get into today. And then we're looking forward to talking with you. 888-957-9570. I am sure someone is going to tell me to stick to politics or stick to sports. But here's the thing. Politics came drifting into my lane this weekend, not the other way. And I'm just going to tease a little segment that I like to call Donald Trump has a lot to say about black men. And none of it is positive.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about next here on The Damon Bruce Show.
Now, back to The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Fantastic to have you out here listening with us today. Hopefully you plan on coming out sometime this week. It is a nice, nice view from atop of Hayward. You can see the entire bay. I mean, really, from downtown San Francisco to downtown San Jose.
It's beautiful.
That kind of panorama that we have here at TPC Stonebray, here for the Ellie Mae Classic, where Steph Curry is going to try to make the cut again this time around. He got to play with the pros last year. He'll be out here. We got a whole bunch of pro-ams going off today. We're going to hopefully say, hey, how are you, to a couple of those guys before they're out on the course to say, hey, how you doing? Well, you can't really talk about the president these days without mentioning golf, and it's too bad that he's bringing down such a nice sport like this. You know, look, I do an awful lot to not talk about this man on my show, and he still creeps in because I can't help it. I'm watching a black curtain come down on my nation in a way that I've never seen it come down before. The person at the top is important in setting the tone and tenor of the nation, and this man's tone and tenor has been absolutely deplorable and unworthy. And look, this is nothing to do with politics. Forget about what you think about any political thing. This guy is just a dick. That's the only way I can say it. That's the only way I can say it. Like, forget about the politics. Forget about right or left or liberal or conservative. Like, this guy is just an A-plus a-hole. And I can prove it with the words that he uses all damn day long. This guy takes shots at LeBron James and Don Lemon over the weekend. He's taking a shot at LeBron James the week that the story about LeBron James is he opened a school. He opened a school for children, at-risk youth, to better their lives, and has something that is going to just look at them in a way that treats them like humans who got a shot.
It's very cool what LeBron is doing.
That's it.
Yeah.
Instead of being a human without a shot, we're going to give you a shot.
A chance to make it a better place, to be a better person, have a chance.
And if that's not something, regardless of who you are, who you vote for, what you care about, whatever you pray to when you go home at night, if that doesn't sit well with you, you are a massive part of the problem. Making the world a better place, one little kid at a time, you cannot have fault with it. If you have any fault with it at all, it's with you. You are, like I said, you must be a huge a-hole. And that's what's going on here. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's also campaigning in Ohio here. What a better way to rile up the uneducated, unwashed masses than to try to take shots at the black guy who left town that you don't like anymore? Like, none of this is happening happenstance. Like, don't think him a fool. Everything is strategically laid out in front of you. Everything is there to incite specific fires of racial hatred and questioning. The dog whistles in the way this guy tweets, the things that he says and does are so unbecoming of a bathroom attendant, much less the president of the United States. I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you. There's absolutely no doubt about it that this man has an awful lot to say about black men. None of it is positive. And if he gets a criticism from Steve Kerr or Greg Popovich, No, it's never addressed. Never addressed. LeBron, in passing, says, you know, I don't think I'd ever really want to meet with the president if that's an offer that was extended. And so, of course, this petty SOB goes on the war path. It is beneath anyone who's been educated beyond their mother's love. If you had a mother that loved you, unless you were raised by wolves that beat you from the moment of birth and you just don't know better, and compassion and empathy and understanding and helping people in a lesser place than you, if that doesn't resonate with you, again, like this isn't political thought. This is, are you a good person? Do you get out of bed to make the world better or worse? And this is disgusting. And that's why when, you know, I talk about, like, Terrell Owens isn't going to the Hall of Fame, like, you got to understand the stuff that I'm doing on the show and talking about, I do talk about in context of the show. I don't go home and worry about what a minute of Terrell Owens' life. I just the things I don't care about, my list starts with Terrell Owens, okay? The things I don't care about list, his name is first. I just do not care. But we'll talk about it today a little bit, because if I did talk about the stuff that I really cared about, I would do the rest of my career on this guy until he's taken out by an unrigged election or something, like
something, because clearly nothing seems to work at this point.
Nothing's working. Something is incredibly wrong with that man. We talk about T.O. being bipolar, maybe mentally disordered. This guy right here too.
Power tripping.
It's just unbelievable. And so if I do get distracted at times, one, I apologize. I know sports are supposed to be a fun escape. This guy keeps stepping on my toe. I'm not doing my show around politics. He's bringing his show into mine with tweets like this, with thoughts like this, and I'm not tolerating it anymore. Oh, I will say this about Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens, Hall of Fame, you don't need a rule called the T.O. rule, where they now want to check to make sure that if you're invited, that you'll see. You don't need to do that. No one else is this stupid or petty. No one else is walking around a poster child for damaged grown-up like this guy does. I mean, seriously. What the NFL needs, I think, is a little bit of a better partner in NFL Network, and I got to take a shot here at my guy, and I don't know if he chose to do it, if it was assigned to do it. I was stunned to see Mike Silver at the University of Chattanooga putting a microphone in this guy's face. If this guy wanted an NFL Network microphone in his face, he should have shown up to your main partner, the Hall of Fame, and done something there. I just don't get it. I think that NFL Network did as much to disrespect the Hall of Fame as Terrell Owens did.
By covering the event?
By giving him a platform. And by giving him a platform, the NFL now has to say to itself, oh, geez, well, we have to, I guess, let people know that should we bother to vote for them into the Hall of Fame? The expectation is that they would show up and be like, cool.
Well, because now you open a can of worms. If there is someone who is crazy as T.O. and doesn't want to show up for their Hall of Fame induction, then they have the right, too, to go out and do their own thing, and maybe the NFL will cover it.
In the interest of full disclosure, I didn't watch a single element of the Hall of Fame this weekend.
I watched bits and pieces.
I didn't watch a single element. I didn't watch a single element of it, and I think the elephant in the room is that not a single video, a single quote, a single moment from any of these speeches has gone viral. Have you seen anything?
No, the only thing that stuck out to me was Brian Dawkins, who talked about how, you know, he kind of brought awareness to, he was at a point, I guess, where he was going to consider taking his own life. So I appreciate that he was bringing awareness to mental health and so forth. So, yes, his stuck out to me.
Haven't seen that. Didn't see a lot of people tweeting
watching
about it. You know, a lot of these messages can be very cool and personal. And I saw that Randy Moss wore a tie with victims of police shootings on it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's some symbolism right there, but I really don't know what Randy Moss said. Again, I didn't watch. I know that Ray Lewis prattled on for about 33 minutes. And the most, here's the thing. You know what I'm going to remember most from this NFL Hall of Fame weekend? Robert Klemko's piece on SportsIllustrated.com basically saying, Yeah, so the only reason why I like Ray Lewis is because we haven't been able to ask him a serious question, not once in like 13, 14 years, about the double homicide that he has been bubble-wrapped, protected
right.
from. And that was really interesting. I remember that more than anything that happened out of Canton this weekend. And I remember the fact that Mike Shanahan sent C.J. Beathard to Canton, Ohio, to see his grandfather.
His grandfather, yeah. Well, you don't want to miss that.
I saw someone say that the Ray Lewis bust was really bad in the beginning, and I thought, wait a minute, Hall of Fame, bad bust? That's our market. That's the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame. We own that market. So I thought we had another Brandi Chastain moment, and it turned out that they were attaching... That wasn't Ray Lewis's bust. That was someone else.
Oh, gotcha. Well, no wonder.
So there it was. The Ray Lewis bust actually looked more like Ray Lewis than the Brandi Chastain bust looked like Brandi Chastain. That's for sure.
Just not even interested at all in it at all this weekend.
I got pulled out to. It was nice outside this weekend. Like and just speeches. Like I got to be honest. I really liked Randy Moss, the player, at times. Randy Moss, what he's got to say, not really. Brian Dawkins, maybe I missed something there. Brian Urlacher, again, huge Chicago Bears fan, don't care. I know that he once banged Paris Hilton. That's about the only interesting post-career thing that ever happened to Brian Urlacher. Let's see. What else? What else happened over the weekend from football? There was, not much, right? All that really matters is that games are about to start.
Yes, that's
true.
That's
what really matters. Coming up on Thursday, we'll see the 49ers play for the first time. And then on Friday, John Gruden steps back in for the very first time. I'm ready.
I am too.
I'm officially ready. You know, what are your real goals? It's just simple. Stay healthy. That's it. That's it. That's all that matters. There's a lot of talk about Richard Sherman hurting his hamstring this week. And he's going to take the week to rest. And I heard Greg and Bonte talking about how, wonder if it's connected. Like, you know, because you're rehabbing your Achilles, you are overcompensating in one place, this, that, the other thing. Hey, I'm not a kinesiologist. I'm not a doctor. I don't know exactly what happened. But I was at the football practice when he fell down directly in front of me, and I can tell you that Richard Sherman hurt his hamstring when he fell down, go boom. Like, that's the only real analysis to put into what happened. He went down, he grabbed his hammy, he didn't participate the rest of the day. If you want to give him the week, that's great. If you want to give him the month, that's great.
I don't need to see him until game one of the regular season.
No! What to watch for in preseason week one? Here's what I want to see. I want to see no one who's really important, even touching the field. If Richard wants to relax, he can. To get further into 49er training camp, Adam Kaplan, an NFL insider, you can hear him on Sirius XM. He says he's a current free agent, and I'll tell you right now, I wish my team could sign this guy because he covers the NFL so well. Adam Kaplan joining us here on the Damon Bruce Show. Good to talk to you, man. How are you?
Damon, I'm good. Yeah, my contract with ESPN expired on Wednesday. So, yes, I'm a free agent, so that's what that means. But, yeah, I just left 49ers camp. I was with them for 2 days. I'm headed up to Napa for 2 days with the Raiders, and the Lions are coming in.
Well, let's dip in a couple more days from now. Hopefully we can get a little report on what's going on with Napa. But you were just in Santa Clara. I was there last week, and the very first thing I noticed, like you can only glean some things when you look over camp quickly, is just how well-organized and up-tempo the whole thing was. It really looks like John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan's culture has been installed, no questions asked.
It's funny you say that because I mentioned that to some of the 49ers upper management about the culture is so different here. I've been going to 49ers camp for 14 years, since 2005, and that was with Mike Nolan. And now I fast forward to here. You and I, doing your show, appearing over the years, we talked about Jim Tomsula and how that thing worked out, and Jim Harbaugh, Chip Kelly. This one, you know what this reminds me a little bit of? Not that we're going to call Kyle Shanahan Bill Walsh, but this is kind of one of the young and up-and-coming coaches who sees the game differently. He's got an offensive structure that is progressive, and it's going to be hard to figure out for defenses. We saw that last year. Now he's got his quarterback. I think he's onto something. I just being around him, and as you and I have kind of the same vibe about this team, they're going to be fun to watch. I'm not saying they're going to the playoffs. I think they'll be somewhere around 7-9, 8-8. surely more than the five wins that Vegas is predicting. But the 49ers faithful, like the fans there, they should be happy they've got Kyle Shanahan. I think he's got himself together. I spent some private time with him in his office today. This guy's pretty sharp. He knows what he wants, and I think he's going to wind up getting it. You just got to be patient. It's going to take a little bit of time here.
When you watch Chip Kelly coach, it was like he spoke to his coaches. No real contact with players, no one-on-one, certainly no hands-on in the moment. Kyle Shanahan runs around the field and will coach that player as soon as his rep and that rep is done. I mean, he is very hands-on, and I don't know if that is new, modern, something his dad taught him, a Bill Walsh note, but he seems to be as physically hands-on an NFL head coach as I've seen in a long time. He's not up in some tower with a bullhorn anymore.
Yeah, so Chip Kelly, you mentioned Chip. Chip did not believe on coaching on the field. He believed in the classroom and film. Now, Kyle does both. I've been watching the last 2 days, and him, when we talked about the way that he coaches us on the field, he said, look, I'm going to show them what needs to be corrected, and we're going to keep repping it, and we're going to correct it. But, of course, there becomes a time where either the player's going to understand it or he doesn't. But the fact of the matter is this is a hands-on coach. I would agree with your assessment. And the nice thing is they've got a relatively young coaching staff who will grow with Kyle as they go through here in their second season.
Adam Kaplan, NFL insider here on 95.7 The Game. We were just talking about Richard Sherman, who I was there when he went down with the hamstring injury. He's going to take the rest of the week to rest. I think they're going to give him even more than that. How much we see Richard during the preseason, that's the topic should be zero. I think Richard Sherman needs zero preseason snaps. What do you think?
Yeah, but from talking to the Niners, it sounded like it was going to be a couple weeks. And as you said, you might as well just be careful here because remember this guy's coming back from a torn Achilles. Now he's got a hamstring issue. He's 30 years old. You just got to be careful. You got to be really careful with this guy. And he's going to be, they expect him to be a starting corner. He's the one real veteran corner that they have of the group and they need him for his size, his leadership. And the thing for Richard is, you know, I'm sure he feels like he's got to have something to prove here because we look at this situation. He leaves Seattle. He has a very bad injury. That's a bad injury. Torn Achilles in a way is worse than a torn ACL. Players have told me over the years it takes a year and a half to 2 years to get back to normal. Thinking he's going to be his old self, that to me is a challenge. And based on contract structure, he's going to have to play well this season to come back next year. So they might as well just take this slowly. You don't need to rush this guy.
Adam, I think their receiving core might not have a definitive number one, but it's not made up of a whole bunch of blurries, 3-4-5s anymore. Like, I bet you just about every 49er receiver in their starting set could pretty much crack the starting set in most NFL cities. I mean, used to be if you couldn't play wide receiver for the 49ers, you weren't even an NFL wide receiver. It's not like that anymore, and I think Dante Pettis is going to be an interesting little wrinkle to keep an eye on. I know he's been turning some coaches' heads at camp.
Yeah, Pettis is coming on the last couple of days. His dad, Gary Pettis, is in the area. So we should talk about Marquise Goodwin. He, to me, is the guy that people don't know much about outside this area. I had a chance to talk to him yesterday. He certainly has a chip on his shoulder, you know, as he told me. Bills didn't want him back. Kyle Shanahan had a plan for him. He stayed healthy last season for the first time in his career, played all 16 games. He's built his body up a little bit. He's trying to build that time up, the timing down with quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, and they're still working on it. But the fact of the matter is, this guy is a very talented receiver. He's not just a track star anymore. I know he averaged over 17 yards per catch. As he told me, Kyle's going to move him around to create space and matchups. So I look forward to seeing that. You know, Pierre Garçon, I think what will wind up happening, I think Pettis will take some of those snaps. By the way, Garçon could also play in the slot when Trent Taylor's not out there. So I think their group of four, Damon, is actually not bad. It's got a good mix of youth and veterans. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, for years, ever since Anquan Boldin left, it was just a bunch of guys. Not anymore. I think you're right on there. I think it's actually going to be a pretty competitive group.
I think the other $60,000 question is, can Jarrett McKinnon and Matt Breida become Kyle Shanahan's version of Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman? What kind of chances would you give that? I think they're very interesting. This is a young, fast backfield who might lead the NFL in catches out of the backfield.
Yeah, so I don't think that McKinnon is the power back that Freeman is. That's the real difference. But in terms of speed and playmaking ability, no question about it, McKinnon is that. He is, look, Kyle made the call. He and I were talking about McKinnon today in his office. I think you're right on with Tevin Coleman. I think although Coleman's bigger physically, he's unbelievably explosive. McKinnon's really explosive with the ball in his hands. As John Lynch told me in his office earlier today, he's faster kind of than his time speed, or he's faster than he looks. His playing speed is better, and I think the fans are going to see that with McKinnon. And Breida, the question with him, how many carries could he handle? I don't know that. And McKinnon, as being a starter, now he showed last year he could handle some volume at running back with Latavius Murray. He actually, McKinnon got a little bit more work than I expected. But in the end, it's McKinnon's game. They're paying him to be the guy. He's going to be a three-down back. Breida will back him up. And where Joseph Williams fits in, I'll tell you, Raheem Mostert had another good practice today, who was brought in by Chip Kelly. He's a pretty good player, very good special teams player. We'll see what they do here with Mostert and Joe Williams.
There you go. I won't even hold it against him that he's a Purdue Boilermaker. Adam Kaplan joining us here on 95.7 The Game. You were just down in Santa Clara. I'm wondering if you had any chance to put your eye on the Hall of Fame this weekend, and did it leave you with any impressions or thoughts?
It was pretty awesome. Brian Dawkins, who I work with at ESPN and cover a little bit locally from Philly with the Eagles, I know how much it meant to him, and getting to know Brian at ESPN and how, if you watch the ceremony, how emotional he is. He's just an incredible human being, one of the best people I've been around, and really a great story. Very disappointed Terrell Owens wasn't there. I know he wanted to go to Tennessee Chattanooga. Look, you can't tell people what to do with their lives. I just think that I would have loved for him to experience that Hall of Fame weekend. I was there 3 years ago when Jerome Bettis and Bill Polian were inducted, who I work with at ESPN. That was an unbelievable experience to be around all those Hall of Famers and those parties, and just to talk to people that I grew up watching was pretty cool. And I hope he participates in what goes on at the Hall of Fame, because there's nothing like being there, no question about it.
Right. And, I know a lot of people just want to give everybody the widest berth in the world to be as unique and special as they can be all day long. I think, Adam, sometimes it's up to adults in the room to look at the non-adults in the room and just say, you know what, you're screwing this up. And if Terrell Owens was sitting across me right now, I'm going to tell him that you just screwed that up to the point that you will regret it forever. You try to be as cool as you want to be about your Chattanooga thing. But the fact that you weren't there is the perfect symbolic ending to a career that still, as great as his production was, comes with a lot of questions.
Yeah, and always remember this, Damon. There's so many players who were not first ballot Hall of Famers. Chris Carter, you remember, he was not very happy. Harry Carson and others. They will tell you, once you get in, everything, nothing else matters in terms of what happened about not getting in on the first ballot. They just forget about it, and they love every second of it, and that's what Owens missed. I mean, but you know what? One of the most different players I could remember being around a little bit. He's just a different guy. You never know what you're going to expect from him. And as everyone said, that's such a T.O. move to go to his college, to have his own, I guess you could call it, version of being in the Hall of Fame. Fact of the matter is, he wasn't with the other guys, and that I certainly wouldn't do if I were him, but you know what? To each his own. We can't tell people what to do.
To each his own, indeed, Adam Kaplan. So after a couple days around the 49ers, are you still installing the Rams on paper as the favorite to win the NFC West?
Oh, for sure. No question about it. I would be a little bit concerned about bringing all these personalities into their locker room. I live that with the Eagles and 11, the so-called dream team, Damon. You got to be careful about that. The 49ers have a situation where they're so young, and they have a head coach who really does a good job of managing everything, and I think Sean McVay's also done a great job. But you bring Aqib Talib in, and also Marcus Peters. Marcus Peters is an outstanding talent, but I find it a little bit dubious that Andy Reid, who's just, in speaking of Terrell Owens, he coached him. When Andy Reid does not want a player, despite how talented he is, you have to ask questions. I think that that would concern me, but we'll have to see what happens. They are by far the most talented team. I don't think it's even close. But the talent doesn't always win. Coaching, and more importantly, how players handle themselves also matter. And I'm very interested to see how this team handles success this season.
Awesome stuff from Adam Kaplan. Always great to talk to you, especially fresh out of a camp. To the matter, can I do my producer's job and just book you after you spend a couple days in Napa right now, and we'll talk to you again soon?
I hope so, because I have to be back in Philly to go to the preseason game. I have some local responsibilities, but we'll figure it out, man. It sounds good.
You're the best, Adam. Thank you so much, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Adam Kaplan, NFL insider of the first degree. Really like that guy, man. Really does a good job. Interesting stuff out of 49ers camp in Santa Clara. It'll be interesting to see what he thinks of what Gruden's doing up in Napa. I can tell you that I know that Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom was at Raiders practice today. I saw a few people tweeting about that. So there you go. A well-coiffed head of hair.
Very much
was
so.
Around the Raiders today. 888-957-9570 is the number. Your calls, we haven't taken any yet. If you're trying to communicate with the show, you can't use the text line today because we're out on remote here at TPC Stonebrae for the Ellie Mae Classic, and we'll tell you more about that. And we'll look into some of the unbelievable programming coming up for you on the Ocho this week. Stay tuned. This is the Damon Bruce Show.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome. We will get back to your calls. We will get back to whatever I was just teasing, talking about all these amazing events that ESPN's going to bring out for the Ocho when they unleash that a little bit later on this week. But speaking of unleashed, the hair has been unleashed here on our remote. Dallas Braden is sitting down to talk with us. He's about to, what's your tee time today, do you know?
It's like an eon. I think next Tuesday is when I tee off. 5:28, I got a hot minute.
Oh, so you can You can hang out and then go hit your bucket of balls where you're not in a hurry.
Yeah, I need ice water, maybe another round of these spare ribs or whatever you guys were gnawing on when I showed up.
They called it a pork wing. It's supposed to look like a chicken wing, but it's made out of pork. It was phenomenal. The head chef here at TPC Stonebrae was good enough to just drop it off. You can take that road dog with you.
When pigs fly, I'll have your pork wing.
There you go. You can take that to the range if you need it. Are you getting ready today? You going low for us today?
No,
you feeling like a good number?
This is what I said. I said the beautiful part about my golf game is it's very consistent. It doesn't matter. Five holes, the front nine, the entire course. It's going to be an 86. So just settle in for that. That's what you're getting.
Well, I tell you what, you play the whole course and you come in with an 86. It's pretty good, right?
Look, if I can find my ball after every time I take a swing, that is a win for me. So a lot more times than not, I'm winning on the golf course. That's how I like to play it out.
You're going to like this as a transition. Boy, you got to find a lot of baseballs when the A's are done swinging because they usually hit them into the stands.
Souvenir City is littered these days. Littered these days.
Let me ask you, you've been around the team all year long. Why have the A's picked the last month and a half to click? Did you see it coming or did it kind of come out of nowhere?
I think it's fair to say, and if you had the Oakland A's penciled in as a 90-92 win team in April, I'm going to call you a liar. I'm going to tell you, no, I didn't see that. I had them right around 83, 85 wins. I had them plus 500 baseball, having a feel that there could be some guys that really start to emerge and take a next step into their progression. But what we're seeing right now, I think, it's not necessarily guys that are clicking all at the same time. That's happened. If you look, I think I want to say over Piscotty's last like 30 or 40 ABs, he hasn't been swinging it quite well. So the usual suspects who were getting it done or clicking all at the right time, there's been some guys that have sort of cooled off. What I think has happened is you've seen a team just get better than what they were at the onset of the season. And that's street legal to do. You can see an entire group of people just start to play a better brand of baseball than the one they were playing when they showed up. And that is what I think has led to the success. You've seen the bullpen emerge as, I don't want to say the best in baseball, but as undoubtedly one of the top five most threatening weapons. You're talking about rolling out that three-headed monster that they just added to with Sean Kelly. You know, sans the glove toss, this guy's throwing good baseballs these days. So you've got reinforcements only to come along and support the bridge that has been. Think about when I tell you that Jurys Familia is the bridge to the ninth inning in a major league bullpen. Just think about that for 2 seconds. This is a guy who's closing ball games for the New York Mets.
Yeah.
And now he's setting up Lou Trevino to hand the ball to Blake Treinen.
It reminds me an awful lot of the Kansas City Royals from a few years ago, where it was basically sixth inning and then good night, folks.
Yes.
The starter gets you into the sixth. You got a two-run lead in the sixth. You are 90% chance at home.
The HDH bullpen, the performance-enhancing bullpen, Herrera, Wade Davis, and Greg Holland, HDH.
Dallas Braden joining us here on 95.7 The Game. We're out at TPC Stonebray. It is the Ellie Mae Classic. Steph Curry says he's got a zero handicap. He is going to go out there and try to play a round.
Is he going to dazzle?
Try to play a round with the pros a little bit later on. Jeez, he just missed the cut last year. If you went out there, really, Thursday, Friday, to set yourself up, would you be looking at a cut line on Saturday morning?
Absolutely not. No, like the only thing being cut would be somebody's forehead standing near a tee box. That's the only thing that, like, me and cut.
See, there's a part of me that doesn't believe you, though, because I know that baseball players usually are good golfers, and of all groups of baseball players, it's the pitchers.
Right, the kickers.
Who've got all the time in the world to get a round in on a day they're not playing. I mean, I heard that, what, Maddux, Glavine, and Smoltz is the greatest threesome in the history of golf.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, but I tell you, like, I had a lot of opportunities throughout my abbreviated big league career to go hack up some of the best courses that the AL West and everybody in between had to offer. No lie, but I just, truth be told, out of all the years I've played golf, like the last, I'd say, three or four, really, is only how long I've been playing, because I had shoulder surgery, and I told myself,
okay,
after I have shoulder surgery, I'm either going to throw a baseball off a mound, or then I can start to play golf, because I should not be playing golf while trying to get back to throwing a baseball. So the minute I threw my last sorry pitch and had the shoulder sewed back up is when I said, all right, I can get back on the golf course and start screwing around, start hacking it up. And so it's only been about 3 or 4 years.
I was about to say, when was your last pitch?
My last pitch was thrown in 2011, but I was throwing in 2012 all the way up to 2014. I was ready to I was rehabbing, and then eventually blew out one final time, and that
right.
was that.
And that's it.
That's
how you got to the driving range today.
that's how I landed on the Ellie Mae Classic, my friend.
Fantastic. So this team just got through, I don't want to say an easy-to-beat Detroit Tiger team, but the numbers stacked up well.
Oh,
they
yeah.
went through this Tiger team without allowing an earned run. as a former pitcher, just what do you think of that?
It's big time. It's big time. There's really no better feeling than flipping a lineup card three, maybe even four times, and feeling a sense of domination. As a starting staff coming into the series, I believe it was 22 straight starts that they had not had a starter go beyond the sixth inning. So Edwin Jackson comes out, slices and dices, gives you six and a third strong, and then Sean Manea, 7 innings of shutout baseball, and you follow that up with Trevor Cahill yesterday, dazzling. It was what needed to happen from a team standpoint. If you were looking at where the shortcomings were, or if you were looking where they could make up ground, it would be to shorten the length and the demand on the bullpen. And who does that? Well, the starting staff. So now you go into that series saying, we need more out of you. And that's exactly what you get, is a dominant performance to the tune of zero earnings. I mean, you quite literally can't ask for more than that.
So there's nothing miragey about this. This looks real. This looks like the lowest team payroll in Major League Baseball is going into the playoffs, and not like backing in, whimpering in, but
right.
like rolling on in. Other teams need to be worried. This is not a drill.
Right. It's not a drill. I mean, and look, if we're going to be honest, though, you have to be honest and say, did we see this coming from the starting rotation? The answer is absolutely not. They're doing it with as I've referred to, a 2.0 rotation. You got three different guys on this club right now who could have been in the rotation that are dealing with that have gone through Tommy John surgery. Okay, think about that. Three guys in a rotation that have now undergone Tommy John.
Yeah.
Nobody else is dealing with that. We've got one guy in Sean Manea who's still in the rotation that was in the rotation opening day. One guy. You got Edwin Jackson. Edwin Jackson out of the International League. He's winning ball games for you. Trevor Cahill, Brett Anderson, a reunion from 08. They're winning ball games for you right now. You didn't see that coming. Nobody did. And if you did, I'd call you a liar again. So to get what you've gotten out of these guys, it's not necessarily a mirage because they're all sort of feeding off each other, but you didn't see it coming.
Dallas Braden joining us here on the Damon Bruce Show. Look, you worked for everything given to you. How much can you appreciate a guy like Edwin Jackson finally landing in a spot where he's going to get a little bit of a spotlight on him again if this all keeps going where we think it's going to go? But, I mean, look, the Major League lifestyle is a very cool but not always glamorous lifestyle. And this guy, he's been paid well, compensated well, and he probably hasn't had the same closet to look at for more than 4 months in a row in his entire life. Like, he is a tried-and-true journeyman if there ever was one, and I'm guessing that guys like you, Dallas, have a special spot in your heart for guys like that.
There's a reason that you find yourself on 13 different ball clubs, and a lot of people, their initial knee-jerk reaction is, oh, he couldn't get it done. Oh, he wasn't fitting in. Quite the contrary. There's a good chance more times than not this man came in, served his purpose, did what he needed to do, and at times ended up becoming a resource for one team to move so another team could require said resource they were in need of. That's who Edwin Jackson is as a human being, regardless of what you think the baseball card says. So having sat by and watched the conversations he had with these kids, the minute he showed up in this rotation, the minute he showed up in this clubhouse, the impact he had just in games of catch, in the video room, there's a lot to be said for a guy who's made his way around the block a time or two, who's now being able to come in, as you said, D, have the spotlight shown on him, but also put his arm around some of these young kids and let them know, this is how we can win at the big league level. He addressed it. I'm here because this team, I feel, is special. I know what I want to achieve. I'm here. I'm not here for the paycheck. I'm here for the pride and joy. I'm here for the fun. I'm here for the dirt underneath my cleats. I'm here for that champagne. I want to earn the burn at the end of this thing. He's been there, done that. He wants to taste it again, and he saw a golden opportunity. He saw a green and gold opportunity.
Oh, come on. This guy is just too good. Seriously, man, you got an infectious attitude about you. You really do. You're easy to be around. There's no doubt.
The game of baseball provides a lot for a lot of different people in different ways. It's provided me with the ability to wake up and give my family a life. And when you get to show up to the ballpark every day and you get to see people enjoy the game and have fun playing the game that you love, and they do it, I don't want to say the right way, but they do it in a way in which you can get on board with, man. That's the blessing.
It is my wish. It is my wish that the Bay Area will put aside whatever gripes it might have had with ownership, with the ballpark, whatever was keeping you from leaning forward on the A's. I hope that people overlook that now and just get behind what I think is a fascinatingly interesting baseball story. You and I were just talking about where is the disconnect a little bit sometimes between the fan base, the region, the team. What would you like to see happen here as we move from dog days to crunch time to you got a baseball team to come root for?
Well, you'd love to have the support, but I think it would be, you know, it would behoove the fans and it would behoove the front office to understand where each other is coming from, because you got a fan base who said, sorry guys, nope, I dug my heels in a few years ago when you were selling pieces off and not addressing my wants and needs. I'm not showing up. Those fans have every right to maintain their stance. Understood, no doubt about it, because there's a certain something you have to do. It's either that or get off the pot, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And that has sort of become what the fan base is saying. They're like, look, there's a portion of us that are waiting for a reason to buy in. If you were ever looking for a reason to buy in, you've been hit over the head with one now. A baseball team that's 20 games over 500 that is looking to not only get into the postseason via a wild card, they've got the division, which is something that was laughable to think about in April and May. They've got the division in their crosshairs right now. And that is something to be very, very excited about, because that's not just mouth work. That's not just me blowing smoke.
No, that's true. And I saw that the Astros were the only team in baseball to use five pitchers. They now have to use six. Someone got just DL'd.
Lance McCullers,
yeah, but that's,
elbow.
Yeah, that's unbelievable that they've only used five guys. And
right.
No wonder why the cotton's been tall and high and great. Now let's see if they can get through this.
Think about this. The Oakland A's have now used, or with the signing of Mike Fiers, are now going to employ the 13th starting pitcher. That's second behind Tampa Bay, who's starting on any given day a water boy, a clubby, and maybe a fan that's won a
giveaway. Sergio Romo.
Right, exactly.
Hey, you get to start today. Dallas, this was fantastic, man. Go and hit him straight today for us, would you?
Yeah, pray for me.
Really, really appreciate you stopping on by. You're a good good guy, man. Really enjoy you on the broadcast.
Thanks,
thank
Steve.
You. So, thank you for coming on by.
Anytime, buddy.
Tell our friend Pecan we said hello.
Will do. America's favorite nut.
There he is. Dallas Braden, give me a sultry station ID, if you would, back in the studio, please.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.